We're continuing our Sustainability Week coverage this week leading up to the Harvest Festival this Saturday. This Sustainability Week report is made possible in part by Minnesota Power, inviting you to visit their booth at the Harvest Festival this Saturday. Well, especially after the power outages that many of us experienced last summer after the big blowdown storm in July, I think there are a lot of people with backup generators in their minds, and certainly you've seen gas power generators that people have. But there are certainly many other options as well. We've been talking about solar power this week and many other available options. And speaking with us today is Brett Pence, who is the Arrowhead Network Regional Coordinator for Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light. Good morning, Brett. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Chris. Good morning to you.
So power is certainly a topic that's on many people's minds these days, especially as we're looking at all of the worries about fuel sources and fossil fuels and the different alternative power sources that are available. And I think that last year's storm really kind of shook a lot of people up a bit, and I think that there are a lot of people looking at new options now. We spoke yesterday with somebody from Minnesota Power about the solar community garden, which still depends upon the power company being able to get the power to your home. But you've got some other options in mind as well.
Well, that's right. And it's not me, but you're starting to see more and more options for people to collect their power and to use that in times of need, like the shutdown, you know, the outage that we had last year. So there are options, for instance, about putting solar on your house. But when you put solar on your house, when the grid goes down, if that solar is tied to the grid, your solar goes down. And that's been a shame. In Hurricane Sandy in New York, it was found that, you know, that was one of the key findings of the after a hurricane, you kind of look and see what happened. And one of the key findings in that hurricane was, hey, you know what? We had all these solar systems. They could have been producing power in individual houses and then kind of community emergency hubs, but they weren't operating.
It sort of surprises me that there's not a switch you could throw that would disconnect you from the grid at that moment.
Well, there is. In fact, all solar systems on houses have a switch, you know, that has to be thrown. They automatically disconnect when the grid goes down because you don't want that power going out on a line where some lineman's trying to fix it, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't want someone getting shocked. So that's kind of a safety feature for them to island to kind of shut off. But what you're seeing now, particularly since Superstorm Sandy, are options. How do we use that power at someone's house so that they can continue to operate? You know, maybe not as fully as they would if they're connected to the grid, but, you know, power a refrigerator, power some outlets, things like that. And so you're starting to see different options out there. You're starting to see batteries come back into solar, but now they're often not your grandfather's battery, right? And not the Duracell that you buy at the store.
Yeah.
They're kind of more of a smart energy system is what you kind of can start to purchase with your with your solar. And we have in Duluth, we had our first residential install of a Tesla battery last month. And so that's kind of exciting. It's one of these, again, it's kind of a very interesting, smart system.
Now, this is a brand name Tesla. This isn't, I'm thinking about the old Edison Tesla AC-DC battle that happened back in the late 19th century. I mean, is it Tesla literally by its power type? Or is that just the name of the product?
You may have heard of the product before. Of course, Nikola Tesla was a famous inventor, as you just kind of referred to, from the 19th century in electricity. But Tesla today is often known as a brand name, as a company, Tesla. It's owned by Elon Musk, kind of an eccentric Silicon Valley icon. And he started this company, Tesla. They make electric cars, and that's how most people know them.
Ah, yes.
But those cars, right, you know, to control that electricity that goes into the car, they have batteries to store that and release it and take in that energy. And so Tesla also makes batteries for solar systems in houses. And they're probably one of the leaders in the world in terms of marketing that type of device and also in really trying to drive the cost down. They have very aggressive goals about driving the cost down of that type of a product. And so it's very exciting to see that particular product here in Duluth. It was, you know, it's one of the first five that got put into Minnesota this year in terms of storage batteries. There are lots of other companies that make those besides Tesla. In fact, Hartley Nature Center installed one the previous year. A smart battery.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still very new, kind of cutting edge. So it's exciting to see it kind of coming into our state.
Tell us, what do you mean by a smart battery?
Well, it's a battery instead of the Duracell battery that you buy at the store, or some other alkaline battery. This is more akin to what you have in your cell phone, right? Where you charge it up, it retains that charge, it controls that charge based on it kind of activities that you're asking it to do on your phone, and then you charge it up again, typically from the grid later on. A smart battery in a house is really an energy storage system. It's managing energy coming in from the sun. It's recharging the battery if it needs to do that. It's letting the energy from the solar array run loads in your house, like your dishwasher or your clothes washing machine or your refrigerator, when the sun is shining. And then it's collected that energy. It may be sending that energy back to the grid if you've run all your loads and the battery's already charged. But then when the sun goes down, this battery then knows that it can discharge at night. All that saved solar energy can now be used to run your loads at night, whether you're cooking on your stove or you've got your bed heater on a cold Duluth night. So it's a really interesting way. You're going to see more and more of these type of systems as the costs continue to fall and more solar arrays are installed. They just make a lot of sense. And of course, when you're doing that, you're using less energy from the grid. The grid, although it's cleaning up, is typically powered by coal. You know, in our region, it's about 60-65% coal fired. Mm-hmm. And so you're really helping the environment typically as well when you're using solar, and you're using that battery to extend the amount of solar that you're using during the day when the sun's not shining.
Now, when you're talking about a lot of different electrical uses and dishwashers and electric stoves that draw quite a lot of power, so I'm assuming these batteries, it sounds like they can hold quite a bit.
Yeah, they can hold quite a bit. They can discharge quite a bit. There are some uses in your house where you may... The interesting thing about this battery is you're not disconnected from the grid, right? So it may be at night sometime where it's one of those crazy nights and you've got the dishwasher going and someone's in the shower and, you've got the TV going and you're taping your favorite show and all that kind of stuff. You're using a lot of loads. You know, at that time, you're still connected to the grid. If the battery can't provide enough power, the grid can come in and provide that power. But you're not relying on it nearly as much at that point. So it's a kind of a smart way. I think what you start to see, people like this aspect because also when the grid goes down, again, you can power certain loads in your house. You may not be able to operate exactly as you did before because of what we're just talking about. Some loads are bigger than others. So once you're islanded from the grid, your own little electrical island, you have to be a little more careful about how you use electricity. But you'll start to see this used more and more because it can be a resource for utilities as well to help the grid itself. You know, you can see where maybe there's a large peak event where a lot of people are using energy at the same time. And if a lot of these batteries are aggregated or being communicated with, they could discharge at the same time and help the whole grid, everyone out, society out. So you're going to see this more and more and more. It's a very exciting time to be in. I mean, energy, lots and lots are just changing.
Yeah, I recall a lot of the rolling brownouts in the Twin Cities when those really hot summers where people's air conditionings were in such high demand that they had to do some periodic power outages throughout the region, and something like this probably would help ease the pressure on the main power sources.
Right, absolutely. You know, you also saw energy storage. You know, it's often, instead of battery, it's called, often you'll see it referred to as energy storage because there are other ways besides a chemical battery, you know, to store energy, mm-hmm. whether it be water, flywheels, or all kinds of things. But you really saw this in the headlines with the recent eclipse because we have a lot of grid, you know, a lot of the grid energy now in different parts of the country is supplied by solar, particularly California or markets like that. Mm-hmm. And so that eclipse coming over got a lot of people worried, well, what's going to happen to the grid? You know, how, you know, once the sun goes down, you know, what's going to happen? And so energy storage was brought up. There are some certain areas that had that, you know, they were prepared to be online. All these other resources were being prepared for to help with a situation where there might be a lack of production because the sun was going away. Interestingly enough, the demand fell so much because everyone was out partying and having such a good time that it didn't become an issue. But you'll see that more and more as storage can be used for all kinds of different things. It can regulate the frequency of the electricity on the grid. It can help regulate all kinds of things. So it can be a real help to lots of places. And when it's behind the meter at someone's house, that's where you can usually get the most value out of it, because you can get value at your house, you can get value to the larger grid, and you can get value to the community around you.
It's really encouraging to know that this type of solar power system is available, and that they're becoming more successful or more user-friendly. I guess I think about what solar was years back, and that now with things like this, you can really implement them in your home and have them be something that's really part of your ongoing day.
Yeah, you know, you're right. In the early days of solar electricity, you know, in terms of panels on someone's house, you would typically be disconnected from the grid, and you would have a really big battery, lead-acid batteries like you might have in your car, and a lot of them in your house. And there are still people that live that way. This is off the grid. But that battery system is, you have to be on it every day. You have to really maintain it, know what you're doing. This is a system that you're still connected to the grid. It's just a normal house in your neighborhood. You don't know it. The only reason you might know that that house has that kind of energy storage system in the house is when the grid is out, its lights are on, and everyone else's lights are out.
Yes, so they're all coming over to your house for supper.
There you go.
Right.
I don't have it yet, but I will be looking at installing solar in the next few years when I have to replace a roof on my own personal house. And You can bet I'll look at the cost of putting in a battery at that time as well. The costs are falling very, very rapidly at this time.
That's great. Just like the LED light bulbs did over time, too. They were very expensive before, but now they're much more affordable.
That's right. You're just starting to see scale being applied, where this becomes more and more of a normal thing. It's being used more, and as that happens, the cost continues to drop around the country and around the world on this kind of stuff.
Brett, thanks so much for talking with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right, take care. Brett Pence, the Arrowhead Network Regional Coordinator for Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, talking with us about alternative power sources like the Tesla Powerwall and other battery backup systems. This Sustainability Week report is made possible in part by Minnesota Power, inviting you to visit their booth at the Harvest Festival this Saturday.